Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and today's date is March 31st in the year of 2021, and we are blessed to be doing episode 197. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. You know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show. It's power in numbers, and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American installation, design, and workforce development training companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployment of our young Black men locally and nationally, also to educate our Black community locally and nationally about the economic impact of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you know you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. And scroll over to our GoFundMe link, and you'll be able to find information concerning that. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very, very exciting show for you today. We have a very exciting guest. We were going to be bringing him on just a few minutes. But before I bring Mr. Davis on, I want to sort of set the table as to why I asked Mr. Mark Davis, who is the founder of WDC Solar, which is based here in Washington, D.C. Mr. Davis is an extraordinary, I call him an extraordinary person doing extraordinary things here in the African-American community here in Washington, D.C., working with founding and locating his firm in Southeast Washington, D.C., in one of our historic African-American communities, the Anacostia community. But what Mr. Davis has been able to accomplish is, I would say, somewhat amazing. Now, he's built a green grow. WDC Solar's mission is to create livable wage renewable energy jobs for local electricians, roofers, solar technicians, and engineers to provide free and reduced price solar energy to all residents living in the District of Columbia. They install residential PV systems and larger commercial systems for schools, churches, and government buildings. You can plug into the sun, which is their slogan. They offer customized solutions for homes and business, residential and commercial. Now, you can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Please click on our news and events tab, and you'll see our title for our show today, Conversation with Mr. Mark Davis, founder of WDC Solar, about the 2021 spring training commencement ceremony that his company just completed in their training class. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a first-class operation. They, in fact, offer something that is very, 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 very rare for our African-American community, which they take the candidates. They come from a number of different sources. I'm going to let Mr. Davis speak to that. But without further ado, I want to welcome him back to the airways of Solar Now in the Future. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ron. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Mark. I'm great. I'm very, very pleased that you took time from your very tight and busy schedule to join us here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. But that's sort of get right down to the nuts and bolts. Mark, you to providing this exceptional training program and sort of give us a little history about this training program and how it has evolved. You have gone and taken the next step. Y'all are offering this course virtually because of the challenges of the pandemic, and I know that it has created a number of obstacles because for you and Candace and your outstanding staff there at WDC Solar. So sort of fill in the blanks on who you are and WDC Solar and this workforce development training program, because y'all are the best at doing it. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Ron, for those nice words. We started business back in 2012. We started our business with the idea to provide workshops for the community, to provide solar training to young men and women living in this community, and to install solar on low-income family homes at no cost. That was back in 2012. It was very difficult to get people to sign up even for a free solar system back then because people just did not understand it. So we spent a lot of time at church gatherings, community centers, and just basically having people come here to our warehouse to provide education so that they would understand the importance of solar and how it could benefit them and also how it could impact our environment. Once I began doing research, I discovered that there was a very small amount of African Americans doing business in this particular area. So the training became very important to me, as it is today. And we've trained over 100 individuals, I would say, from 2012 to now. We just finished a cohort, and as you was mentioning, COVID has impacted our training. But we've adjusted, we've continued to train, and we had about 12 to 15 in our last cohort, and they are not only going to work for WDC Solar, most of them are going in the region. And
well,
these
Mark,
are.
I don't want to cut you off, but you said something to me one day that really, really stuck with me. When you said to me, you said, "Ron, I'm not in the business of training young people and not being able to provide job opportunities for them after they can complete their training." And I thought that was so sincere. And as I began to research and get more data about from the Solar Foundation, which is takes out tax dollars and they're responsible for cranking out the numbers, and began to start looking at the actual number of African Americans who are hired in this solar industry, as you elegantly have stated, there are very few African American companies. Matter of fact, the Solar Foundation put out statistical data saying that there were over 9,000 solar installation companies doing business in the U.S., but I have been able to, over the last almost 5 years, to identify less than 30 African-American companies. Could you sort of share with our listening audience the fact that this industry, not only is it difficult to get into, but after our young people have these certifications, many of them still have not aren't being hired because of the different impacts that have hit the industry. I know last year when the pandemic had just originally hit and the devastating effect it had on the solar industry, and specifically for the installers. So could you sort of let people know what the environment was then and what it is now and where you see this thing going?
Yes, correct. So to your first point, we are not a training organization. I got into this business as a solar EPC to install solar here in the District of Columbia, as I mentioned, on low-income family homes, churches, government buildings, and the such. So we do not, we have not historically had contracts with the government to train people to become solar installers. It's something that I've done through the years, more or less as a community service, as a way of giving back to the community. So the training has evolved through the years. We have people coming to us now asking to finance a training program because they need workers on their sites. We recently have partnered with the D.C. Housing Authority to train some of its some of the individuals living in D.C. housing projects to become solar installers. We installed about 1.2 megawatts of solar on D.C. housing properties last year. We partnered with Pepco for our last training cohort. And
I don't want to cut you off, but I know that you are an industry person. So when you said the 2-point-something megawatts, could you break that down for our listening audience in terms of how many homes that would represent?
Absolutely, Ron. The 1.2 megawatts, for instance, we installed about 23 individuals, men and women living in the District of Columbia, to install those systems. They were installed on D.C. Housing projects where the energy that was produced was used to lower D.C. housing energy costs, improve our environment considerably, cause them to be less dependent on fossil fuels. And one thing that's important here is to understand the utility and how, in this particular instance, we work with the utility, not against the utility. The utility here, they are for renewable energy. They don't put up barriers to block renewable energy. In many jurisdictions, I find that it is difficult to work with utility because they feel like you're coming in and you're taking dollars from their pocket, and they don't like that. What I like is to, like, for instance, when I install solar on a low-income family home, that money that they save each month might have gone to the utility. But now that money is back in the pockets of the homeowner, stays in the community, and that is a model that I am proud to be a part of, because with that we're not only improving the environment, but we're enriching the community, we're providing jobs, and we are providing incentives for the district government to continue on its path of adopting renewable energy. That's a very important part. So you have to have several components working together, where you have someone like DC Housing, someone like Pepco, and the DC government and city council working together to create policy that promotes solar energy. So it has been a work in progress for us for the last 12 years, but we are seeing some of the fruits of our labor over those last 12 years. And some of these individuals I've known for years, lived in the community, and they know about the training program. I have a guy this morning that I've known for years, and I was surprised to see him in our last cohort. I mean, the guy, like many other guys, said he wanted to make a change in his life, and he wanted to commit it to what he was doing. He had seen other guys in the community come through this training program and better themselves, and he wanted to do it. And he was one of the guys that we hired this morning, and it just made me thank God for the work that I'm doing here.
Well, Mark, I want people to understand how important politics is, how important the black vote is. In the District of Columbia, we are blessed to have a long tradition of having black politicians that have stood up for the African-American community, going all the way back to Mayor Washington, Marion Barry, to the young man White who's, who took over after Marion's seat in that ward after the Marion passed on. But what I want people to understand is that Washington is D.C. is a blessed situation, because number one, people there can qualify for programs based on the federal AMI, area median income. That means anyone making below this can qualify for the Solar for All program, which I want to say you, as well as Mr. Ted Tarbell, who is director of DC Sustainable Utility, DCSEU, you have played such an intricate part with the president of Pepco, and she is an outstanding individual in her own right, Mrs. Donna Cooper. And it takes all of these entities working together to be able to work the WDC Solars of this world to make these things happen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not happening all over the country. I happen to be blessed to be serving as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which WDC Solar is one of the founding charter members. We have one of our charter members based in Jackson, Mississippi, Mr. Will Shirley of Sundial Solar USA. They don't have a workforce development training program in the entire state of Mississippi, even though they received $45 million from the Department of Energy for workforce development training. They don't have any programs implemented at their junior colleges as of yet. And I know that you reached out, Mark, and you have been trying to assist him in that endeavor, but could you talk about Mr. Ted Turbo and DCSEU and the role that they played with WDC Solar in getting this Solar for All program started in the District of Columbia, which is a unique program? And when I say unique because there's a federal 26% federal tax credit. The way the District of Columbia designed that program, the homeowner is able to take advantage of that from day one. They own their system from day one. Of course, the credits, which we know is extracts or green credits, the energy over and above, which is used by the household for the first 5 years, the Department of Energy and Environment takes that, but after 5 years, that converts over to the homeowner. But the homeowner owns the system on their roof that y'all are installing, Mark. That doesn't happen everywhere else. Could you sort of talk about that? Because you touched upon it because you didn't go into the fact about regulated and deregulated markets. And I'll explain that to my listening audience. But I want people to understand how unique this specific program is. But it's only that way because of the energy and work you put into that program with Mr. Ted Turbo over at DCSEU. Could you sort of elaborate on that some?
Absolutely. So in 2011, the DCSEU was formed, and they won a contract from the department of the local Department of Energy, the D.C. Department of Energy and Environment here. And as I mentioned before, part of the business plan was to install solar on low-income family homes. So when Ted, DCSEU got the contract, I presented them with a plan to install solar on low-income family homes at no cost and laid out the groundwork as to how that could be made possible. It was very difficult for me to compete with the big guys, being a small, you know, installation company in D.C. at the time, so I had to create a niche. And that is what I did. I talked with the people there at DCSEU, Ted and George Nichols at the time, and got them basically to agree to allow us to do a private-public partnership, government partnership, where the government would pay part for the system, we would pay part for the system, and the income-qualified homeowners, the energy produced from the solar system at no cost. And this particular program has been a blessing to so many district residents. I've gotten so many calls where people were just so happy that they didn't have an electric bill anymore. But it took open eyes by Ted and George there to commit to the program. They did not commit the first year, but the second year they started the program, and there were only three companies. My company, Darrell Green, the football player, had a company, and another guy. And we worked the program with those three companies for a few years, and then they expanded the program, and we kept pushing them to expand to commercial installs. They've done that, and the program has blossomed now, and we've had a contract with them each and every year, but the program has blossomed now into something that's very special, and many people around the country are trying to emulate. And it's not only Pepco, but we have people like Nixon and Peabody, who's all about affordable housing and housing for low-income people. They moved into the solar space also, and we've worked very closely with them to provide free energy to residents through a CREP. as you know, some houses are not suited for solar. Some people live in apartment buildings. So working with the DCSEU to expand their program, working with DC Council to enact new policies, we are now able to build a solar system on a larger grounds and break that energy up into different segments and give it to low-income residents living in the District of Columbia. So we've expanded the scope. We're installing
now, is that referred to as community solar, Mark? Because, you know, people like to throw around a lot of words, but you've done an excellent job explaining what community solar is. So I just want people to understand that the models that are being adopted around the country came from the mind and brainchild of you and other African Americans who care about the community. Because, Mark, I won't go into the particular company, but I saw a presentation that was done recently, and they call it Solar for All program also, after the district, because I know the district was first. And they had nothing but a lease contract, which they were basically telling the people, we put a system that was comprised of 22 panels. You will pay this fixed rate for 20 years. If it's the mid-size system, which will be about 26 panels, you'll pay $80 a month for 20 years, or up to about 30 panels, which was $100 a month, you'll pay that for 20 years. We'll take the 26% federal tax credit. It won't go to the homeowner. We'll take the credits for the entire duration of a contract, lease contract with the homeowner, which is 20 years, and the people will never own anything. And they went and presented this to the NAACP for the entire state, the so-called address, the needs of low and moderate income community. So I felt like telling them, y'all need to take the name Solar for All off this here, because y'all don't know what Solar for All is. Y'all need to be adopting the model that's been put in place in the District of Columbia, Mark. That is one of the reasons why I wanted you on today, to let people know how unique this Solar for All program is, and that the legislation passed by the City Council, where they identified to help 100,000 low and moderate income residents reduce their energy bills by 50% by year 2032, all of these play a role in you being able to provide this unique and needed service for our community. Would you agree?
Absolutely, Ron. And you do have some bad actors out there in some of these other jurisdictions. I've seen some of these plans. They're designed to enrich the owners. They're not designed to help out low-income residents. And it's a shame that people are out there preying on low-income residents in various jurisdictions around the country. I just think it's appalling. But we don't want to really, I mean, some things we can change and we can make a difference, and some things like what you're talking about that's happening in these other jurisdictions is just bad. People need to stand up. People need to organize, form these small pockets of individuals who are like-minded, who want to see change in their market. Have meetings. That's the way we did it here. It didn't happen overnight. As I said before, I remember meeting people at church gatherings, after church, community centers. You know, I'll get to speak. I'll go in. I'll talk with them. I'll let them know. Very difficult getting people signed up at first because people are skeptical because of what you just described earlier. But once people saw that this was real, that homeowners were saving, money on their energy bills, then the doors opened and we didn't have to market as hard. People were calling up wanting to get involved, because when you start talking about going from paying a $150 to $200 electric bill to paying little to, I mean, almost zero or $4 or $5 a month, that's a tremendous impact on a low-income family. They can put food on the table, buy medication, and do things that are important. So we have to continue to organize in these communities and continue to educate people as to the advantages, and continue to talk to our politicians so that we can shape policy that benefit us.
Well, Mark, I think you the day is supposed to be opening day for baseball season. I know you played basketball, but you could have been a switch hitter because you just knocked it out the park. That is the key, ladies and gentlemen. And what Mr. Davis is saying to you is that we need to, the African-American solar installation design and workforce training companies need to be going to blacksinsolar.org, which is our new website, and looking at the press release and looking at the platform and the national survey that we put out, trying to get those companies to sign up with our membership, which we are offering right now free of charge. And I know you told me, nah, don't do that. Make them pay. I understand. But we need these companies to come together, the African-American companies around the country, because they have a tremendous amount of power if they unite. Because if Biden's administration is going to invest $1.7 trillion to combat climate change, we must be demanding that programs such as the DC Solar for All program and your companies get their fair share of this funding, because it needs to be replicated in our African-American communities nationally. Mark, 30 minutes is gone. I know you're a stickler for time. I'm not going to ask you to stay any longer, but please, in your closing remarks, what would you want to share to a person, young person, or any person who would be interested in getting into this growth industry? Because solar has been the leading growth industry in this country over the last 12 years. It's outgrown any other segment of employment. What would you have to say to those individuals, or like to say to those individuals in closing?
Well, I would say figure out if this is what you want to do, being a part of the solar industry. If this is what you want to do, then if this is what you want to do, be determined. Be dogmatic. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. If you want it, you believe in it, you can do it. And get educated. I would say once you figure out this is what you want to do and nobody's going to turn you around, seek education. And that is a process that you will be embarked upon for the rest of your career, because it's something where you're never going to, you know, you're always going to be able to learn, to grow, to advance. And you can come from a high school education and go very far just by making up in your mind that this is what you want to do and that you're going to do it and you're going to make it happen, and it will happen for you. God bless you. Thank you, Ron, for having me on your show. Anytime, I'll be there for you. Just let me know.
Well, thank you, Mark. I want to let the world know I am very proud and appreciative of what you have done in the southeast sector of Washington, D.C. It's a shining, positive example of what can be done when the community comes together, and as you said, you had to go into the churches, you had to go to community town meetings and sell the concept to people, because our people have been seen so many shanks just come down the road, but yours was not that, Mark. It was something what we call, it's something real, and I know it. I've been there, I've seen it, and I will always be grateful for you sitting down with me and inspiring me to keep doing what I'm doing. So once again, Mark, thank you very much for taking time from your busy schedule to be a guest on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And until we do this again, I tell Candace and everyone over there, I said hello.
God bless you, Ron.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Mark Davis, the founder of WDC Solar. The reason why I wanted to have him on today, ladies and gentlemen, is because, see, inside of this market niche, the African-American community, we are over, I know we're more than 43 million strong in this country. I look at how politics play a strategic role, and it is the key to everything, the vote. I don't have to say to you, if you haven't been under, sleeping up under a rock, that because of the African-American community going to the polls in total numbers, in 2008, we elected Barack Hussein Obama, which was the first African-American president. The reason why that is very, very important is because in 2007, the gentleman's name, he founded Green for All, and he's an MSNBC commentator and an attorney who wrote the Green Jobs Act. And Mr. Van Jones. And Mr. Jones went into Congress in 2007, the year before Obama was elected to office. And he got the Green Jobs Act codified under the Bush administration because Katrina had hit New Orleans, and how Bush's Republican administration bundled that natural disaster. So Congress codified the Green Jobs Act to combat climate change. Let's be clear about this. Now, that Green Jobs Act resulted in $500 million in workforce development training dollars. $10 million went out to every state, including the District of Columbia, received $10 million for workforce development training dollars. And one of my first conversations I ever had with Mr. Davis was, what happened to the $10 million for workforce development training dollars? And what you will find out, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are millions of dollars coming out of federal agencies going to the states for workforce development training. Money hits those state coffers. The money is never appropriated by the legislatures in those states to be put in the pipeline for workforce development training. This plays out right here in my, I am a Maryland resident. I reside here in Tacoma Park, Maryland, right across the line. And I had a conversation with Mr. James Frykowski. I met him at a workshop which was put on by the Maryland Clean Energy Center at the University of Maryland last year. And it came down to me, this July 1 of 2020, the state of Maryland would received $110 million from the Department of Energy for workforce development training. He said, when the money hit the state legislature, the state legislature only programmed $8 million for workforce development training. I'm talking to the assistant director of the head of the Department of Employment Service for the entire state of Maryland. He said, we got 23 counties in Maryland. He said, with combat climate change and the needs that we need, I need at least $3 million for each one of these counties to get into our junior colleges and working with some of our colleges and universities to provide certification training in this arena. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen, because I've reached out in the past for Mrs. Sherry Brooks. Mrs. Brooks has an organization called Power 52, and it's been working in conjunction with another one of our African-American solar installation and design companies, Biff Energy, which is Mr. Robert Wallace's company based in Baltimore, Maryland. They have done outstanding work building large-scale solar farms up and down the Mid-Atlantic coast. They do work from Maine to Florida. They would like to do more work in Maryland. If you log on to our website and look at our either January or February archives, you'll see Maryland Clean Energy Jobs. There's a short video there, and you can hear Mrs. Brooks talking about the need for more funding to train more installers, energy auditors, and electricians. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Biden administration is going to invest $1.7 trillion to combat climate change over the next 3 years, because we're in the first year now, to combat climate change, we need to be taking a closer look at the platform developed by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can find that information by logging on to Blacks, BlackinSolar.org. That's BlacksInSolar.org. And we're going to switch gears, and we're going to talk about this on the other side of our, as we say, other side of the dial here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. But right now, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact.
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
singing. I got trouble singing.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And if you are out there on listening over Facebook, Twitter, or Link, or you can listen to this broadcast. We are broadcasting over the World Wide Web, over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. And you can be heard by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. But right now, we're going to talk about the National Association of Blacks and Solar new website. And if you go to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, you will see the link for the new website. You can click on that link. It's a blue link, and it opens up. And I'm going to share with our listening audience the Welcome to Blacks and Solar, www.blacksandsolar.org. You'll see our logo. I think it's a beautiful logo. The gentleman who just left the airways had this particular logo designed, Mr. Mark Davis. We share and provide the red, black, and green colors representing the land, the blood, and our race as we've struggled in this country for 400 years. It's a press release. The platform presented herein is a response to 5 years of solar industry research and data and an analysis compiled by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, of Tacoma Park, Maryland. You'll see the logos of our four founding organizations, Peer Consultants, which is headed by Dr. Lillian Abrams, Sundial Solar Developers, Inc., and WD Solar, and, of course, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. This is the press release that we put out. This particular release was published back some time. You will also find a link for the National Association of Blacks and Solar 2021 national platform calling for a green economic development plan for Black America. You'll be able to click on that. Washington, D.C., the National Association of Blacks and Solar is soliciting your company's input regarding market conditions in your market segment, and is also requesting that members of the Congressional Black Caucus and the Executive Congressional hold executive congressional hearings on the Green Economic Development Plan for Black America developed by the National Association of Blacks and Solar. The hearing will include members of the CBC who serve on oversight committees that play key roles in climate change and renewable energy in the first quarter of the new year, 2021. That's when we've been working, trying to get that done in the first quarter. But I don't have to tell you what is going on politically right now with the surge of immigrants coming to the border, young kids coming through the border from the Central American countries, with the spike in racist crimes being committed against all communities of color, but the Asian community right now is the one that's in the news cycle. This issue has sort of been pushed to the background. That is why we are on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, letting the Black community know what our concerns are and what we need to be pushing for and addressing. Establishing a process for evaluating social, political, and economic environmental priorities in the development of individualized long-term solar strategies for our historically Black colleges and universities, on banks, churches, municipal governments, Black county governments, Black businesses, nonprofits, and demanding that the Biden administration invest 35% of the $1.7 trillion his administration plans to invest in clean energy over the first 4 years to combat climate change. That is what we are looking at. Community development over the last 12 years, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, over the last 12 years to educate the African-American community about climate change and the solar industry with its many benefits has been a major problem, because getting the solar industry, cities, federal government to invest in advertising dollars with black-owned media to educate the African-American communities has been a major issue nationally. The National Association of Blacks in Solar, we will be soliciting funding from the public and private sector to pay for syndication and broadcast costs with the Urban One Radio Network for programs, the program Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This program educates the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and provides environmental education to the Black community through syndicating the program. This will be heard in 76 markets, which will help drive public opinion in reaching our stated goals. Targeting African-American-owned institutions, including HBCUs, Black-owned banks, businesses, churches, and property owners, along with targeting funding from African-American-owned commercial and residential units nationally through the Property Assess Clean Energy PACE program and the Rural Energy for America program, REAP, the Biden administration is planning to implement these resources over his first term. So what we're saying is these are programs that exist that need to be tapped into by our community. Now, what we are doing at the present time, I have someone calling in right now. I will have to take their calls a little later because we are still have about, let me see, we still have a few minutes left here in our show, and we want to make sure that we drive this home. Ladies and gentlemen, we're requesting that the HBCU 5-year Green Economic Development Sustainability Plan, which was developed by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative and peer consultants headed by Dr. Lillian Abrams, receives funding. And you will see that she has just recently received, as CEO, Dr. Abrams, received the highest professional distinction accorded to an engineer as she was inducted into the National Talent Academy for Engineers in the class of 2020. So we want always to give our kudos, because this sister has been a warrior, and her firm has been out here since 1978. She started with 3 employees. She now, before the pandemic, she had 5 offices nationally and 2 offices internationally, where she had brought on to staff close to 200 African-American architects and engineers. And when you have that kind of responsibility with meeting that kind of payroll, you've got a lot of responsibility. So we reach out to Dr. Abrams when it's absolutely necessary, because you don't have a lot of time when you have that much coming at you every day. And as I've said to you, her organization is one of our charter founding members of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So we have our guns locked and loaded, and we're out here hammering and pushing to drive home the fact that this plan includes increasing market share for African-American solar design, installation, and workforce development companies. The National Association of Blacks in Solar will work on public policy issues and with stakeholders from the public and private sector, such as the following: the African American Mayors Association, the Public Service Commissions, and Black members of those Public Service Commissions nationally, Black State Legislative Caucuses and their members nationally, Black City Council members and County Commissioners nationally, other nonprofit organizations advocating for equity for African American communities in the solar industry, utilizing, as we talked about, the Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, which is a national organizer. We were going to try to use this as a national organizing tool to cut energy costs for Black-owned businesses, residential properties nationally, and negotiate with chain stores franchised for Black-owned franchisees, utilizing the REAP program, which we've already indicated to that. Ladies and gentlemen, all this information is available inside of this release that you'll find at blacksinsolar.org. You will be able to find that information. And as we close today, ladies and gentlemen, with our show, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact, we want you to know that this show every week is brought to you by, you know, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which I am the president and founder of that organization. I also wear the hat as president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. We work at this. There is no coming through the doors, ladies and gentlemen. We urgently need your support. If you go to positivechangepc.com, you will see that there is a GoFundMe link, and we have to raise a substantial amount of money in order to buy the time to get this show on the airways of Radio One. There's no free lunch. So we need your help to do that. And, you know, this show serves as the blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for solar design, installation, and workforce development training companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our HBCUs, our Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young Black men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our show for this week. We often say to folks, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to beat us here. And as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future, this show will be available on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, Link, and by logging on to positivechangepc.com. That's Positive Change, P as in Paul, C as in Cat.com. And you'll be able to listen to this show today. So, ladies and gentlemen, the next week, we say go in peace. We don't want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here. Until next week, we say go in peace as we close another edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Someone singing, I can sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life.
what's singing. I got trouble. Sing it.